I've often said that the Day of Remembrance set as a national holiday quickly loses its purpose as well as people's attention. For example, on Memorial Day or Veterans Day, you see more people at stores and ballparks than at military ceremonies and parades. It appears the same is in the process of happening regarding Martin Luther King Jr. Day, which is this Monday. This past Friday, congressional Democrats conducted what they called teach-ins as their way of honoring the work of Dr. King. Here to explain how stated intent and the actions which followed differed and create concern from the National Center for Public Policy Research's Project 21 program is political commentator and writer whose works have also appeared in The American Spectator, NBC, Daily Caller, and many other places, Dr. Darren Green. Thanks for being here today, sir.
Doing well. Thank you.
A couple of websites, nationalcenter.org. That's where you find more information about Project 21. And for more information about Dr. Green, Derek, D-E-R-R-Y-C-K, Green.com. And yes, we have the links over at our website. And as I said, Dr. Green, the Democrats in Congress, they wanted to take their time leading up to Martin Luther King Jr. Day and do teach-ins, which was a common practice back in the day. And, of course, when you hear that and what it's associated with, you think, well, we're going to talk about racial equality, stepping up, stepping forward, building life for yourself. That's not exactly what happened, though, was it?
No, it's not. It's in my opinion, it's one more way that the Democrat Party has co-opted, Black history to fit their current political purposes. And so at this point, this teach-in is geared toward trying to protest the recently passed tax cut by President Trump. And I find it curious that they would use a teach-in, that they would use, you know, the holiday of Martin Luther King to protest more Americans getting more of their hard-earned money back from the government. In my opinion, to use the teach-ins in this manner trivializes the sit-ins of the past, because in the sit-ins of the past, people who were engaging in this activity knew that they were going to have some serious repercussions, physical, most immediately. And so I think it trivializes what has happened in the past. And second of all, considering how strong the economy is, considering that Black unemployment, the unemployment rate is the lowest it's been in the past 45 years, since we've had two, months over the last three where Black unemployment has reached 17-year lows, we've had Black teen unemployment also reach a 17-year low. Again, the national unemployment rate is at slightly over 4%. It's curious to me why Democrats would use this occasion to protest more Americans, but particularly more Black Americans, being put to work. It doesn't make sense.
And they're also protesting where the Black Americans are working in places like Walmart and Target, where those businesses, because of the tax reform, are upping their minimum wage, giving one-time bonuses. The Democratic response is, well, those are evil businesses. They actually need to be shut down, sort of missing the fact, well, if you shut them down, you're putting a lot of people out of a job then.
That's exactly right. And see, and this is where I think the crux gets to it, is that they are complaining that these, well, on the one hand, these corporations are evil and that kind of thing, that kind of rhetoric, which we've heard for years and years. But at the same time, they employ the very people who need work. That's low skill or no skill Americans. So for the fact that they would complain about that makes no sense. More importantly, many of these corporations that they're demonizing have said they're going to give their employees raises. They're going to give their employees bonuses. When these tax cuts actually take full effect, these same businesses and organizations are going to reinvest in human capital and expand to hire other people to employ them. So I really, what we get down to it is, besides the fact that Democrats don't like Americans having more of their money, the Democrat Party needs a constituency that's dependent upon them. And by them, I mean government. They need to have that built-in constituency to continually go to the polls to vote what these people think are their best interests. And that's people who are going to continue to give them money for them to live. And I think that's not only bad politics, I think that's immoral.
What that becomes confusing too, because how do you promote the entrapment of big government and downplay the freedom of opportunity?
You know, that is a good question, and I think the freedom of opportunity is good for Democrats, for people like them. Let's keep in mind the people who are the loudest people, the loudest ones complaining about these tax cuts and these bonuses and raises, these organizations giving bonuses and raises to their employees. are Nancy Pelosi, who's a multimillionaire, Elizabeth Warren, who's a multimillionaire, Bernie Sanders, who is a self-identified socialist, is a multimillionaire. He owns three homes. His wife has made many millions of dollars. You know, so I find it very interesting that the people who are multimillionaires who want freedom and opportunity for themselves are at the same time trying to prevent that same freedom and opportunity for their constituents. So there's really no it's just a logical inconsistency when it comes to the left.
So Dr. Derek Green, who is a political commentator, writer, member of the National Center for Public Policy Research's Project 21 program, derekgreen.com, D-E-R-R-Y-C-K, by the way. Of course, we link over at our website, nationalcenter.org, as we learn more about Project 21, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. Is all this the teach-ins and the fake panic and the negativity the Democrats are spewing out, is that a sign that the liberals believe that they're losing against the president?
Yeah, I think what the last year has shown is that besides the fact that they're bankrupt and they're out of ideas, they're still trying to fight this war with the president because they just assumed that their candidate was going to be elected. And so not only are they angry that she wasn't elected, but they're still angry at who beat them. And so now, instead of putting forth, constructive ideas to grow their base, they're simply trying to inflame their base through anger, through this so-called resistance movement, so on and so forth. And so that reflects negatively on Democrats and the left. What I would suggest for Republicans, conservatives, and the president, though they all may not agree on the proper way to go about implementing policies, or they may simply disagree with the president's behavior and actions, some of his behavior and actions in office, in my opinion, they can coalesce around one idea, and that is this may not be the person that they wanted to beat the left, but this is who they have. And so they should get together and pass policies that further marginalize Democrats and leftists to make them even more defensive, because adversity reveals character. And right now, Democrats have lost a lot of seats from the state and local level all the way up to the federal level over the past 8 years. And now they have a president in there who, again, he's using their own tactics against them. So they're defensive. I think that Republicans and conservatives with the president should pass even more conservative legislation to marginalize Democrats even more, so the world can see, or at least the country can see, exactly who these people are in their response to being marginalized. And that's one of the aspects of this administration that I don't think that he's embracing and trying to enforce or reinforce enough.
Well, I think too, when you look at the Democrats and they're absent of any message, unless of course you consider give the Democrats a majority in the House and the Senate so we can invoke the 25th Amendment and remove Donald Trump. That's about the only message they're running with right about now.
That's exactly right. And even if they invoke it, they're not going to remove the president. So this idea of putting all this effort and energy to think that if they retake the House that they're going to, you know, invoke the 25th Amendment, try to impeach it, it's not going to happen. Even if they were to, quote unquote, impeach the president, get enough seats and impeach the president, he's not going to be removed from office. So, again, I just think that short-term strategy that they have is going to backfire long-term. And this is where I would like to see, again, Republicans and conservatives get their hands dirty and fight this along the same lines that Democrats have been fighting Republicans and conservatives for 50 years. And that is get dirty and push back because, again, as I always say, bullies are very strategic in who their victims are. Their victims are people who won't fight back. The minute conservatives and Republicans start fighting back, which Donald Trump has done, and again, I don't agree with every tactic that he's used, but he has fought back. The moment they start fighting back, they're going to retreat a little bit, and again, they will be exposed for who they really are.
And one difference you can say, too, Democrats, when they have a goal, they coalesce around that one goal, and that's something the Republicans, the moderates, the Freedom Caucus members and all points in between, I think that's the element that they have to gain a better grip on and realize the the difference it makes when you do that as well.
Oh, the phenomenal point. That's exactly right. Democrats coalesced around Obama for 8 years, and they knew from the state level and losing governorships, seats in state legislatures, losing the Congress, losing the Senate. They knew the ship was sinking, but nevertheless, they coalesced around the president to advance a very leftist agenda. We can't even do that, we conservatives and Republicans can't coalesce around an agenda that's conservative, that would be, beneficial for the American people, that would be beneficial for their political party. They won't even coalesce around, ideal. Again, they may not like the person who is captain of the ship, but at least the captain of the ship is your captain. So you have to take the good and the bad. And again, if he's able to implement 70% or 80% of what you want passed, you have to go with that 70 or 80% and just negotiate the 20 or 30% that you don't like.
Learn more about Dr. Green's views and his writings, Derek Green, DerrickGreen.com. And learn more about Project 21, nationalcenter.org. Dr. Derek Green, thanks for being here today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.